Can I get started again? I just want to address the question of extending the comment period based on the changes that we've been discussing tonight, including the hall roof, and we are going to extend a public comment period for 10 days following this hearing. I did count out the days, but I will do that while people are providing comments and give you the closure date of that. We'll also advertise that on DMR's homepage, which is maine.gov/DMR. March 12th. Thank you, Mark. March 12th. We will close the public comment period at 5 o'clock on March 12th. Who would like to start the public comments?
I'll start. Paul will get first.
I'm gonna go. That's true. I did. I'm sorry. I had Paul and Armadie McFadden signed in first, so I will do those first. Even though I'm
not.
Paul here? He's not here.
He's
there now. Paul, would you like to provide the first comment? Again, I ask that everybody please try to stay within 3 minutes. If you do go much further than that, I am going to ask you to wrap it up, please, as expeditiously as possible. And please try to keep your comments within the scope of the hearing, which again is impacting the fishing industry from activities at the point of the activity and then also along the hall route.
Documents.
These are three charts that were based upon the information that I had up until this hearing, where I was shown some new information and listened to a narrative that was fairly confusing to me. But I'm just going to go right into this. My name is Paul Bernacki, and I'm a consultant that works with property owners around this area where the dredging is going to go on. I am a DEP certified erosion and sedimentation control contractor. I have 10 private intertidal shoreland owners, and I'm an agent for those, and I've done quite a bit of permitting and construction work actually in these sediments. And when I say I've done that, I mean I've been on the machine, on the backhoe, on these sediments, and actually know what the sediments and the subsoils and Presumpscot clay actually look like and do. I know for a fact, because of the charts that I've studied supplied by the applicant, which were done by their vendor, Norman Dew, that there has been no sediment testing of the intertidal zone. There's been no geotechnical, there's been no quantifying of what kinds of sediments, how many fines or how many courses, and there's also been no drilling to determine how much rock is there. However, the applicant in their construction narratives state that if they should run into bedrock, then they'll stop what they're doing and start blasting, or using a large backhoe to pop it up. So, you know, I'm impromptu here for a minute because I wasn't presented with any new information that there had been new sediment testings since the ones that have been presented and the charts and the actual sites that were shown on the map, which I've presented here, that were not tested because the water was too shallow. I just want to point out that 12 square miles of the bay has been closed by this agency to the taking of lobsters in a line from Stockton across to Castine. The reason it's been closed is because the lobsters are poisoned with mercury. That's about another half mile further away than the dredge site landings for the barges. So this project and dredging and construction plans has a 2-year history of change locations, haphazard construction narrative consistency, and a continued very confusing. It's been very confusing trying to keep up with it.
I'm going to ask you to wrap up.
I am going to wrap up, and then I'll give you the paper. So the amounts that I've seen and the actual construction plan, the acreage of dredging, excavation, side casting, redredging, and filling amounts to about 6 acres. And the funny thing is that the Natural Resources Protection Act requires of the applicant plans of the actual area. And this plan is supposed to be at a scale of 1 inch equals 100 feet that shows 2 foot contours, and all components of the project impacting wetlands or other protected natural resources must be included. So that plan is not here tonight. I have not seen that plan. Our engineer, using the applicant's data are on the wall back there for anybody to look at.
Mr. Bernanke, I have to ask you to stop, please make one final comment if you want, but we're well over time.
I'll make one final comment. The Yeager's Chapter 5 testing reports and all geological sediment reports indicate that there really, really should be real sampling and analysis plans put in place for this project for this agency and all the agencies to properly review the impact to the fisheries. Thank you.
Next.
Ms. McFadden, if you'd like to come up, and if I could ask people to please sit at the table just so we can hear your comment directly.
And if I could also ask speakers after they speak to sign their name to this sheet.
So my name is Arminie McFadden, and my boyfriend Joseph Larrabee and I own the aquaculture site just downwind of where you guys want to put this stuff out. And my reservations are kind of wishy-washy at this point. I've been totally opposed thus far, but I'm not totally opposed. I've rethought things, and I think I've come up with maybe a possible solution. So while Nordic Aqua Farms has presented what seems to be a great plan, it lacks a great plan for the effluent discharge. And I want to be clear that dumping is discharging is dumping. However you want to look at it, it's the same. They really haven't taken into too much consideration the adjacent landowners. And we're all directly affected by the ecosystems that surround us, specifically in the mid-coast of Maine. The marine ecosystem of Penobscot Bay is responsible for sustaining the life of numerous aqueous species. And it's home to lobsters, of course, crabs, flounder, scallops, seals, and many other types of fishes, clams, mussels, eels, porpoises, urchins, shrimp, seabirds, and many other. Each of them living here depends on the suitability of the marine environment in the bay. Therefore, they depend on us as the Penobscot Bay Area residents to speak for them and protect them from harm because they can't speak for themselves. And these waters have also been a way of life for many generations of people, and it supports a diverse collection of businesses that are really, truly, directly and indirectly affected. Whether the focus is on one species or another, it boils down to the ecosystem's importance to itself as a whole and to us being the people that live here in the Penobscot Bay Area. And the case can be easily made that, you know, the Penobscot Bay virtually is the center of the coast of Maine, making it the epicenter for lobsters and tourism. Not to mention, when you're shown a picture of Maine, it's what your eye usually focuses on. You look basically almost exactly, you know, the guy on Channel 5 puts the picture up at night. Everybody basically looks right where we're looking to do this. So, you know, it's basically indispensable to the economy of Maine. You know, you taint the water, you taint the economy. So I want to take a step back, and so we all know why it matters. It affects all of us. I'm certainly one of those people. I lease a 6-acre aquaculture site located in Northport, which is a point of contention before when we originally got the site. So I want to know why, first of all, nobody's been contacting us about any of these proceedings or anything whatsoever. I was just kind of taken aback. You know, I know we all do the daily grind and try to keep up, but I would like to be contacted in the future, please, if possible. And it's basically, our site is 3 kilometers directly downstream from the dumping site. I know it's not right directly there, So that does give me comfort. Right now, there's 6 rafts bearing mussels that are at varying stages of growth, and Penn Bay hasn't been operational since June of 2004, and has yielded some of the finest mussels from Maine in the Maine waters compared to the other 3 sites that Joe's used over the course of the last 15 years prior to this. And the importance of all the mussels in the bay equate like this. The mussels are filter feeders, obviously. I know you guys know this, but not everybody does. They're considered to be ecosystem engineers. And one of our rafts filters on average 1 million gallons of water per hour. So that's 6 million gallons per hour.
I know.
And this is where my difference of opinion is, okay? I don't want the 36-inch pipe directly, you know, discharging it. But I guess, you know, if we have to do it, I would hope that they would use the idea of best practices to be able to discharge this. I know they have a big super treatment plan in place and idea. I've looked at and researched some other places that use a commercial distillation process, and it's really the only safe way that I have been. I've done a lot of research over this over the last couple of years. I know we've talked before. It's really the only safe way to safely remove all the nitrate, and I really think this is the way to go. The plan, you know, proposes to build a water treatment facility, so why not build a distillation plant within that facility? And that way, okay, I know I'm trying to wrap it up. I'm making it fast.
You can give me a paper of comments, too, if you're willing, or send them later.
I understand. So basically, that would solidify, it would cost a lot more money, but it would calm most of the community concerns here, and it would benefit the company over time by solidifying the relationship with all of Penobscot Bay, basically, and show the dedication to the protection of this environment. And anything short of that, I think, would have dire consequences. So my basic questions, are you willing to try and look at possibly doing this or asking them, you know, to look into this? And I feel like more baseline testing should be done. We've only got 1 year in these 6 sites, you know, 6 spots that you did it. So I'm kind of feeling like maybe another year of baseline is kind of necessary to establish some really good data. And I'm also wondering, are these numbers allowed to change? Because I keep coming, you know, like you guys, we all are coming to these meetings and hearings. You're doing your job. We're trying to do ours. But these numbers keep changing a lot. And I understand that there's a process that you know, in doing everything, you have to figure it out. But I think everybody's a little frustrated with the fact that the size of the pipes keep changing, where the pipes are going keep changing. And so also, what type of place do you have in plan in place do you have for shutting down if there's a problem with the water quality, like immediate shutdown or not? And then also, will you require bonding, and how much for Nordic Aquaculture Farms? Because I'm required to be bonded as an aquaculture site in the water just short of there, so are they going to be required to be bonded as well?
Next question? Thank you.
Good job.
I'm also happy to take any written comments that people have this evening if they want to submit them.
Good evening. My name is Wayne Canning. I'm a zone representative with the state for the fishermen up in the northern part of this bay. Zone D, District 11. So I'm not just representing myself, I'm speaking for probably 40 fishermen. Not all of them fish over on this side, but half of them do at least, maybe 25. So the concerns that I've had talking with the guys is, and we went to the Nordic, the BEP and the DEP hearing here a couple of weeks ago, and there was a guy there, Pettigrew, from the University of Maine. He teaches at the university. He's a professor. And he recommended that testing be done out here in various locations to tell the salinity, the nitrates, and the tides, the currents, and what happens during the storms as far as the water flow and how things are mixing in. And I think most of us think that's a necessary thing to happen. And maybe I'm not supposed to be saying that tonight here with you folks, but it's already said, I guess. So, and thank you. So back to the hall route. You say you're going to start in November. Well, I fished this year, and I only came in because my engine was acting up more than I'd like to do, but I didn't give it up till about the middle of December, and I'm fishing right past that haul route, right up into the bay, and not just a few traps, and I'm not the only one. There's a guy here that fishes crabs, Lucky Schedule, and TJ works with him in the wintertime. They're fishing there all winter, and the crab fishing up in here in the wintertime is the best it's ever been, because some of the lobsters have taken off and the crabs move in. So, and also, the pipe, or pipes. Originally, they were buried, or partially buried, at least 50%. We thought that was a pretty good deal, you know. You can't get hung up on that. Now they're going to have them up off the bottom. Good chance we're fishing by there, we're going to be hung up. And I don't know what happens after you get hung up, or the rope parts, or the pipe comes down. I don't know what will take place at that point. But it shouldn't be allowed to happen. I think the pipes ought to be set back down in the ground so they're covered up. Half, three quarters covered. You know, so if you're hauling a trap with a rounded pipe, it will slide up over it. If you're 8-9 feet off the bottom, you're going to get off ashore if you're anywhere near the area. So also, the discharge of the pipe, we're quite concerned about that, afraid of the change in the ecosystem. You know, lobsters are pretty sensitive to change. Crabs maybe not so much, but there's other fish. I got a picture on a calendar grandson took. Probably it's about 500 feet from where that discharge pipe's going to be. It's a mother with two baby porpoises feeding on shrimp. That's what's taking place up there in the fall and the wintertime. There's shrimp up in here, which I guess we don't have a shrimp season anymore because there aren't any, but the porpoise seemed to think there was. And so back in the mussel farm down south of there, which isn't far from that pipe, that's a real concern. I mean, if the water coming out of the pipe is real, real good, maybe nothing will take place. But boy, if something goes wrong, there's going to be a lot of people affected. Not just in the water fishermen, but the people on land that we distribute our products to that make a paycheck from it. And also the young people. I'm at the age where probably I've just about done it already, you know. I'm come to the finish line. But all the young kids behind me, they want to do what I did. Not everybody, but there's quite a few that have gotten a student apprentice, they got a student license, and they're going for it. And I hope that we're real cautious and we don't make a mistake and go ahead with this, and then it goes sour and it gets shut down up there. We've already got a shutdown northeast of where this location is, probably about 4 to 5 miles away.
Can I ask you about that?
Okay, well, I'm just about there, Meredith. The haul route, the time, November through April. November, like I said, I'm fishing up here until mid-December. So, we are fishing there, and like I said, the crab is fishing there all winter. And I guess if they mark it out, you know, so everybody knows where we're going, and it'd be nice if they haul during the day, so they know where they're going to. Well, there's no such thing as gear, and they go outside their markings and run over the gear. And the pipe being on board. The sediment that comes out of the construction site, it doesn't get contained by booms or whatever they're using in filters. Because during that year, you also got elders that are going up to the Passy and they're going over to Goose River. So I don't know if they travel the shoreline. I don't know the migration route of elder eels. I don't know if the sediment that gets outside the boom or whatever is going to affect any of that or not. And I'm hoping that maybe the research or the testing that maybe the state can convince Pettigrew to do, you know, to have done, which I think he's a real qualified guy to do that type of work. And I'd like to see it happen. Thank you for your time. And I'll be sending in a lot.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else who would like to provide comment?
Good evening. I'm Sid Block, and I live in Northport. Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
I'm Sid Block, and I live in Northport, and I get the gist of these this hearing tonight, so I'm going to cut right to the chase first, and then I'll give you some comments. First, my wife's family hails from the Calais area. We've lived in the mid-coast of Maine since 1976, currently in Northport on the south shore of the Lower Little River Reservoir. Martha is the owner of this property and thus a legal abutter to the Belfast Water District and the proposed Nordic Aqua Farms facility. I'm speaking for her, and Martha requests that you, the DMR, hold a formal adjudicatory hearing. I'm glad you're here. Second, tonight I speak for the Friends of the Harry Dell Hartley Conservation Area, the holder of the conservation easement imposed by the owners Jeffrey Mabee and Judith Grace, the terms of which require their registered intertidal zone at the mouth of the Little River be maintained in its natural condition. The dredging, trenching, and or blasting planned by Nordic in this fragile, ecologically, environmentally, and economically important intertidal land are strictly prohibited. As president of the board of the Friends of the Harriet L. Hartley Conservation Area, I also request that you hold a formal adjudicatory hearing. Now for some personal comments. The gist of all of this is that it seems to me that that you are more than accepting of Nordic and Nordic's hired consultants in giving you their analysis of what they're going to do, and that there has been no independent scientific analysis. And you're accepting this simply because Nordic has told you they've looked into this themselves and decided the dredging and the discharge will do no harm. And I say, come on now. Suppose someone came to you for a permit to put a great white shark in Belfast Bay. Would you accept their assurance? That's no shark. That's a goldfish with a glandular condition. Now, let me tell you, there are a lot of concerns about what's happening here. And I do think that if you had independent testing, and that you should make Nordic wait until such adequate independent studies of the seabed and the currents of the bay have been performed, such testing would afford you a far better way to predict the potential marine consequences of Nordic's plan. You know, there's a lot of warm water that's going to be discharged, and warm water is a potential pollutant, according to the Federal Clean Water Act. I'm not aware of any study about Nordic's potential to cause algae blooms and other adverse effects on the biota, and that includes human and fish of the bay and its beaches and its community. I can't find where you've taken into account the findings of the state of Maine, which have identified and mapped this area as rare and important habitat, or those of the federal government that identified it as an essential fish habitat for up to 9 species, including winter flounder. So, you know, the DEP, the EPA, and the DMR seem to have very short memories. 50 years ago, without adequate studies, the state allowed a private corporation to dump tons of mercury in the Penobscot River. It took lawsuits by the public to finally bring the responsible polluter to task, but no amount of money will ever undo the damage done. And one would think that the state and its regulatory agencies would want to be more careful this time around. I think the time has come for you to rise to the occasion, to stand up for the DMR's mission for the public good. And I will finish with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you please sign?
I did sign.
Great. Thank
that,
you.
Did that first.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And here's.
David, thank you very much. Sir. Mm-hmm.
So, good evening, Ms. Mendelson, and Mr. Assistant Attorney General, and Mr. Martin Hall. My name is David Black. I'm a lobster fisherman in Penobscot Bay, up on Penobscot Bay, and I'm going to make your job really simple tonight, and I'm not going to say a whole lot, because I have already submitted written testimony to the DEP, and I would like to be on the record with that information, and I would like to have you find that testimony and review it, and if you really want to know how I feel, it's really pretty much written up in that. I reviewed a letter from the Department of Marine Resources. It was signed by actually Dennis Martinall. Mr. Martinall is sitting up here this evening. And in the last sentence, or actually the last two sentences of his letter, it says, further, meaning in addition, DMR requests suitable sediment testing along the proposed pipes for potential contaminants. The collection and sampling should meet the Army Corps of Engineers standards for testing on marine sediments. And as a result of the dredging and the haul route, there will be some disruption to the sediments in this area. And one thing I'd like to say is, if nobody's familiar with Bigelow and Schroeder, there is a book with the fishes of the Gulf of Maine. There are 252 species of fish in the Gulf of Maine, and I can assure anybody that a lot of those species live in Penobscot Bay. It is an estuary. I have seen firsthand the life that is in this bay out here. And I think to disturb the bottom sediments in this area for the Nautic Aquafarms project would cause a few contamination problems. And based on that, I would ask you, as the Department of Marine Resources, to please recommend to the Board of Environmental Protection that a complete environmental assessment be completed for Upper Penobscot Bay before any permits for any projects here are issued. And that is all I have to say. Thank you.